But in Joshua chapter 1 and chapter 7, rather, in verse 1, the Bible says that the children of Israel committed a trespass in the accursed thing. For Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Zabdi, the son of Zerah, of the tribe of Judah, took of the accursed thing, and the anger of the Lord was kindled against the children of Israel. And Joshua sent men from Jericho to Ai, which is beside Beth-Aven on the east of Bethel, and spake unto them, saying, Go up and view the country. And the men went up and viewed Ai, and they returned to Joshua and said unto him, Let not all the people go up, but let about 2,000 or 3,000 men go up and smite Ai, and make not all the people to labor thither, for they are but few. So there went up thither of the people about 3,000 men, and they fled before the men of Ai. That means that the men of Ai were destroying them. And the men of Ai smote of them about 36 men, for they chased them from before the gate even unto Shebarim, and smote them in the going down. Wherefore the hearts of the people melted and became as water. And Joshua rent his clothes and fell to the earth upon his face before the ark of the Lord until the eventide, he and the elders of Israel, and put dust upon their heads. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the testimonies that we've listened to tonight. We thank you, Father, also for the songs that we've sang. We thank you also for this scripture that we've read. And Lord, we confess tonight that we're needy people. We need to hear from heaven. And Lord, each one of us needs to just have a special message ministered to our hearts. So Father, please give us what we need tonight. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, as we begin tonight, I want to make a statement that I made this morning to you as I told you what I would be preaching about tonight. And the statement is this, your failures do not have to define you. Let me say that again, and this is very, very important that we get this, but our failures do not have to define us. That's so important that we understand that. Your failures, my failures, our failures, in fact, maybe as a church, don't have to define who we are. In fact, we should not allow them to define us. And as a great example of that, as I studied this past week, I read about a man that we all know as Abraham Lincoln. Abraham Lincoln, in my opinion, was one of the greatest figures in American history. And although he was a rare combination of effective leadership and likewise compassion, yet Lincoln suffered a multitude of failures and setbacks in his life. For example, in 1832, he lost his job. That must have been a tough time in his life. Losing a job's hard. And then he, in the same year, was defeated for state legislature in 1832. He then failed in business in 1833. In 1834, he was elected to the state legislature, but in 1835, his sweetheart died. What a terrible time. In 1836, he had a nervous breakdown, as you might imagine. In 1838, he was defeated for the Speaker of his party. He was again defeated in nomination for Congress in 1843, but was elected to Congress in 1846, yet he lost the renomination in 1848. He was then rejected for land officer in 1849, was defeated in the U.S. Senate in 1854. He was then defeated for a nomination as vice president of our country in 1856 and was again defeated for the U.S. Senate in 1858. But do you think Lincoln let all those failures define him? They did not. Lincoln was elected president of our country in 1860. And you know something? Very few of us ever dwell on his mistakes or failures in business or jobs or to get elected. Almost all of us would say that man was a successful president of our nation. Now, we've been talking about doing for others for the last several weeks, and we've looked at a number of individuals from the Bible that have provided us great lessons about how we ought to or ought not to live our life. For example, we talked about Jonathan, David's friend, and what he does for us is to teach us how to be a good friend. We likewise, even looked at Esau, and Esau, of course, teaches us how not to be as a believer. We looked at David himself, and David shows us his heart for God, which helps us to also maybe want to have a heart for God. We looked at King Asa, at Elijah the prophet. We looked at Caleb's life. We looked at even the prodigal family. We learned a lesson from them. We even talked about Philip last week. But all those men, in one way or the other, what they did for us was to either teach us how to be or how not to be. But as we continue studying tonight about men who did for others, we find that Joshua was a man who did not allow his failures to define his life. And by way of information, Joshua, according to the Bible, was born in Egypt before Israel actually exited Egypt. He was born there before the Exodus events. And the Old Testament identifies for us that he was one of the 12 spies who went into Canaan land, sent by Moses to spy out the land. And after Moses passed away 4 decades later, Joshua then led Israel to the conquest of Canaan. Likewise, he helped to divvy up all the tribes or the inheritances to the tribes of Israel. But that being said, though, Joshua chapter 7 was a very pivotal moment in his life. In fact, prior to chapter 7 and in chapter 6, Joshua led Israel in the conquest of Jericho. Do you remember that time? It was a time where Israel had, had gone up to that city. It was a very fortified city. In fact, they didn't just have one wall around the city. They had 2 separate walls around the city. So this was a very fortified city. And yet, under his leadership, and because he followed God, Joshua, the Bible says, led Israel. And the Bible says in verse 20 in chapter 6, that as a result of that, the wall fell down flat. So that Israel went up into the city, every man straight before him, and they took the city. And just as a reminder, the Israelites didn't do anything to make that wall fall down. All they really did was to blow a horn and shout. But God himself dropped the walls. But God was good there. And can't you just imagine how excited they must have been when they watched those walls fall down flat? Man, they must have almost gotten Pentecostal that day and what God was doing. It was such a great victory. And I can just imagine how pumped up Joshua must have been as he watched those walls fall also, as he led God's people into taking Jericho. It must have been an incredible day. And by the way, victories like that are very encouraging, aren't they? In fact, notice verse 27 in chapter 6 here. And this is an important verse. It tells us that when the walls fell down, the Bible says that so the Lord was with Joshua, and his fame was noised throughout all the country. You know what that means? It means not only that God was with him, but man, people everywhere, especially in Israel, they were talking about what a godly leader Joshua is and has been. Listen, he was well reported of. And again, those kinds of days and those kinds of events are really encouraging, aren't they? I mean, when you're going through those victories like that, those spiritual victories, it seems like nothing can ever be wrong ever again. And aren't you glad that God gives victories like that in our life? I am. I'm so glad that when I encounter those spiritual walls and those spiritual battles, and when God gives me victory, it is such a blessing from God. And it's exciting that when God gives us the grace to knock those walls down, or better still, when he does it for us, man, those are wonderful times to go through, I'm sure. And they're so important. But anyhow, I want you to know this, though. While we rejoice in such wonderful times, well, the sad news is that because we're all human and flawed, we sometimes experience failure, spiritual failure in our lives. Have you noticed that in your own life? We sometimes experience spiritual failure in our life. We might have been going through great victories in our own life, spiritually speaking. We might have been having victory over sin, and that's what God wants us to have, by the way. But we might be going through those times of victory in our life when all of a sudden we encounter another spiritual scenario, and our victories turn into failures. How many of you have been there before? We all have. And listen, when those failures come, their rejoicing is gone, right? The joyfulness in our heart becomes sadness. And that's exactly what was happening in Joshua chapter 7. Through his leadership and as he followed God, the chapter before this, the walls of Jericho fell down flat. And the nation of Israel, it says that God was with Joshua and that his fame was noised abroad throughout their country. But as you get into chapter 7, the time of rejoicing has ceased. Because again, the children of Israel, it says there in chapter 7, committed a trespass in the accursed thing. For Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Zabdi, the son of Zerah, of the tribe of Judah, took of the accursed thing. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against the children of Israel. And Joshua sent men from Jericho to Ai, which is beside Beth-Aven on the east of Bethel, and spake unto them, saying, Go up and view the country. And the men went up and viewed Ai. And they returned to Joshua and said unto him, Let not all the people go up, but let about 2,000 or 3,000 men go up and smite Ai, and make not all the people to labor thither, for they are but few. So there went up thither of the people about 3,000 men, and they fled before the men of Ai. And the men of Ai smote of them about 36 men, and they chased them from before the gate even unto Shebarim, and smote them in the going down, wherefore the hearts of the people melted and became as water. Now, often when we read this passage, though, we focus our attention on a man named Achan. Achan, obviously, was a man who the Bible tells us had the accursed thing. In fact, if you were to look back in chapter 6, turn back there for a moment. In chapter 6 and verse 18, God had previously told his people before even Jericho's battle, he said, Ye in any wise keep yourself from the accursed thing, lest ye make yourselves accursed when ye take of the accursed thing and make the camp of Israel a curse and trouble it. But all the silver and gold and vessels of brass and iron are consecrated unto the Lord. They shall come into the treasury of the Lord. But yet, after they took Jericho, later on, Achan confessed that I saw among the spoils of a goodly Babylonian garment, in verse 21 of chapter 7 there, and 200 shekels of silver, and a wedge of gold of 50 shekels weight. Then I coveted them and took them, and behold, they are hid in the earth in the midst of my tent. So the point is, we often look at this chapter and think about Achan's sin, and there's a lot of lessons here. And the lesson, the primary lesson is when there's sin in my life, God can't bless me. He just can't. And listen, God knows. Even if Joshua didn't know, God knew. And likewise, when there's sin in our camp as a congregation, God then can't bless us. And here Achan had taken of the accursed thing that God said, don't take. He then hid it, and God knew. And as a result of that, God allowed tragedy to take place. But tonight, though, I don't want to focus our attention on Achan, though there's a lot of lessons here that we could talk about. But I want us to focus our attention on the failure of Joshua in chapter 7. Because notice again in verse 2 here in chapter 7. The Bible says that Joshua sent these men, these spies, from Jericho to Ai. This had taken place right after victory in Jericho. He sent them in there. And he said, go up and view the country. And the men went up and viewed Ai. And they returned to Joshua and said unto him, Let not all the people go up, but let about 2,000 or 3,000 men go up and smite Ai. So let's examine these verses for a moment. Now in chapter 6, let me just say this. God gave instructions and Joshua followed God's instructions to the letter. I mean, he did everything God said. For example, in chapter 6, verse 1, Jericho was straitly shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out and none came in. And the Lord said unto Joshua, See, I have given into thine hand Jericho and the king thereof and the mighty men of valor. And ye shall compass the city, all ye men of war, and go round about the city once. Thus shalt thou do 6 days. And seven priests shall bear before the ark seven trumpets of ram's horns. And the seventh day ye shall compass the city seven times, and the priests shall blow with the trumpets. And it shall come to pass that when they make a long blast with the ram's horns, and when ye hear the sound of the trumpet, all the people shall shout with a great shout, and the wall of the city shall fall down flat, and the people shall ascend up every man before him, straight before him. And Joshua the son of Nun called the priest and said unto them, take up the ark of the covenant, and let seven priests bear seven trumpets of ram's horns before the ark of the Lord. You know what's happening here? God gave Joshua instructions. Joshua listened to them. He then followed those instructions to the letter. He told God's people, this is what God said do, and therefore we're going to do it. And let me make a statement here. Joshua got instructions. He then instructed God's people, and they complied. And God himself gave an incredible victory that day. Let me say that again, lest we missed it. Joshua got God's instructions. He gave them to God's people. And when they complied, God blessed. And that's what God does. And that's what happened at Jericho. But that didn't happen at Ai.
Right.
Again, prior to Joshua attacking Ai, he sent spies in to Ai. Now, by the way, when I thought about that, God brought to my memory, 40 years prior to this, Moses likewise sent spies into Canaan land. Do you remember that in Numbers 13? They sent spies in there. Do you remember what happened when they sent spies into Canaan land? 10 of those spies brought back an evil report, and that report led to disaster. And now here you find Joshua 4 decades later, who ought to have remembered what happened 4 decades prior. But it seems like Joshua got a little amnesia there, because he saw the failure in Numbers 13 and 14. But now he's doing almost the same thing again. Now, let me ask you a question. Was there any need to send spies anywhere? No. God already told them, you're going to take Canaan land, just go. But yet now, he's making the same mistake in doing what Moses had done long before that. Anyhow, in chapter 6, though, he got those instructions from God, and he obeyed those instructions, and God blessed. But in chapter 7, when he sent those men up into Ai to view the land, they came back and they said unto Joshua, Joshua, let not all the people go up, but let about 2,000 or 3,000 men go up and smite Ai, and make not all the people labor thither, for they are but few. Let me make a statement though. When you receive instructions from God and when you follow it, success is inevitable.
Amen.
That's true. Let me say that again, lest you missed it. When you get instructions from God in the Bible, and when you follow it, God will give you success. But at the same time, too, when you receive instructions from people, you might not have success in your life. In fact, when people give you instructions to the neglect of God's instructions, you're guaranteed to have failure in your life. Guaranteed to have failure in your life. In fact, I'm reminded of what Solomon wrote in Proverbs 16:25. He said, there's a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. And my point is, man doesn't always know what to do or what we ought to do. Man, in all his wisdom, in his knowledge, in all his experience, man doesn't have all the answers. I mean, apart from God, man doesn't have the answers. For example, mankind might say that if you want to go to heaven, just be a good person, and surely God will let you into heaven. But listen carefully, that kind of reasoning will take you right to hell. Because the fact is, the Bible says there's none that doeth good. No, not one. Man also might say that it's okay to live together and not be married. I mean, after all, everybody's doing it, and it's not a big deal. Times have changed. But if you follow that kind of reasoning, you might face the chastisement of God upon your life. It's not a might. You will face God's judgment as a Christian. And I'm just saying there, man doesn't have all the answers, especially in the spiritual realm. And while following God's instructions will inevitably lead to success in your life, well, following man's instructions to the neglect of God's instructions will certainly lead to failure. But yet here Joshua was. He already saw God work in Jericho and knew that it was God who did that. But now, rather than asking for God's instructions, rather than even getting on his knees and praying about it and saying, God, what do we do here? He sends these spies up into Ai, and they came back with man's reasoning, and they gave him bad advice, and it went badly. Now, by the way, let me just throw this out there. If you listen to a man like a preacher, and the preacher is following this, it's okay to listen to the man. But if you're listening to a man and he's not following the Bible, you got real problems. But those men said, Joshua, here's what you do. We've seen the land. So, listen, I want to tell you, Joshua, we could beat these people with one arm tied behind our back. So don't make everybody go over there. Do you see any pride there? There might have been pride there. Now, I can't say for sure, but it looks like pride to me. I mean, they said, hey, don't make everybody go. I mean, after all, there's just a few little handful of people over there. We can take them with just a couple thousand of our guys, and we don't even have to send in Team A. Send in Team C, and we'll be okay. And yet, with the many hundreds of thousands of soldiers at Joshua's disposal, Joshua listened to people and did not check with God. What a disaster that was. Because Joshua had seen those walls fall down flat, he thought, surely we can do this. But again, pride goeth before destruction. It really does. But be that as it may, here Joshua was. He didn't check with God. In fact, there's no indication at all that Joshua even prayed about this. And by the way, I say that because had Joshua said, Lord, we're about to go to Ai, do you have any advice? Do you know what God would have said? Joshua, time out. There's a guy over here who has taken of the accursed thing. You better deal with that first. Because, by the way, God already knew. So it looks like Joshua didn't even bother to pray about it. He just took man's advice and plowed right in there, and the results were terrible. And I said all that to say this. There isn't one person among us, not Joshua, not Achan, not Paul the Apostle, and any of us, there's not one of us who hasn't maybe failed spiritually speaking. Every one of us has fallen down spiritually, and the results have been dramatic. All of us, no matter who we are. That is the dilemma for all of us. But I want you to know this, and I love this. Our failures, our spiritual failures, don't have to define us. I mean, people don't have to look back 20 years from now and say, you know, old Brother Deloach over there, he failed, and that's all he ever was. No, I can overcome my failures by the grace of God. Amen. Now, by the way, Joshua experienced great failure here. He really did. In fact, it says that the men of Ai smote them. That means that they killed them. They killed 36 men, and the results were that the hearts of the people of God melted and became as water. Now, does that sound familiar to you? Well, 40 years prior to this, the same thing sort of happened. In fact, quickly look, if you would, in Numbers 14. This is after the 10 spies have brought back this evil report, and they've scared the Israelites in a terrible way. And the Bible says there in verse 1 there in chapter 14 of Numbers, it says that after hearing this evil report about all the giants in Canaan land It says, all the congregation lifted up their voice and cried. And the people wept that night. You know what's happening? That evil report caused those people's hearts to melt. And now here, Joshua, going through the same thing 40 years later. He's not consulted with God. He's not prayed about it. He's not followed God's word to get instruction there. He's done the wrong thing. And as a result of that, people have died. And it's been a terrible tragedy. But I want to tell you this. Joshua did not let that failure define the rest of his life. Now, by the way, those 10 spies, that failure did define them for all eternity, right? In fact, not just them, but the whole congregation with the exception of Joshua and Caleb, right? When those 10 spies brought back that evil report and gave it to the Israelites, they refused to go into Canaan land, and God said, your carcasses will fall in this wilderness. And now, when you think about that generation, all you can think of was, they didn't trust God. They wouldn't depend on God. They were dependent upon themselves. But here Joshua is, 40 years after all that took place. He's made a terrible, terrible mistake in his life. He's failed. But I want you to notice, back in Joshua 7 and verse 6, when Joshua saw the failure there, the spiritual failure, his failure to check with God, his failure to even pray about it, his failure to follow God's instructions. In fact, he wouldn't even hear God's instructions there. It says, when those people died, it says Joshua rent his clothes and fell to the earth upon his face before the ark of the Lord until the eventide. Now, question, do you know what the Ark of the Covenant was? It was a very important piece of furniture, but more than that, it was a place where God's presence dwelt. It was indicative of the presence of God. And so here Joshua is. He's had this terrible tragedy, this failure, this spiritual failure in his life. And his first reaction is not to complain. It was not to resign himself in failure. He decided to get on his face before God at the ark. He got back in God's presence.